reversible contraception use and sexually transmitted infection acquisition during 12 months of follow-up among young African-American women. Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so happy to be part of this presentation. It's been excellent. LARC methods, including IUDs and implants, are highly effective in preventing pregnancy, and their use is associated with both substantial declines in unintended pregnancy and abortion rates. LARC use is currently low, but increasing among adolescents and young women. Both ACOG and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend LARCs as first-line contraceptive options for adolescents. Of concern, though, are the recent studies showing lower levels of condom use among LARC users relative to users of other contraceptive methods. To date, though, studies have not examined STI acquisition among LARC users. Therefore, the purpose of this study was to examine STI acquisition among young African-American women who use LARC relative to those who used other contraceptive methods or no method of contraception. This study is a secondary analysis of data from a behavioral HIV prevention trial conducted here in Atlanta. The trial enrolled 560 young African-American women who were primarily recruited from community venues. Eligibility criteria included self-identifying as African-American, being aged 18 to 24 years, reporting at least one episode of vaginal sex without a condom in the past 90 days, and reporting alcohol use on at least three occasions in the past 90 days. Exclusion criteria included being married or pregnant. This study was a three-arm trial to compare the efficacy of two behavioral interventions to reduce both sexual risk behavior and STI acquisition. Unfortunately, there were no differences observed in STI acquisition between the study arms. Participants completed ACASI assessments at baseline and every 3 months over the course of 1 year. In addition, at each assessment visit, participants provided a self-collected vaginal swab specimen, which was assayed for chlamydia and gonorrhea using PCR. Participants who tested positive were provided treatment and risk reduction counseling and encouraged to refer their partners for treatment. The analytic sample included the 531 participants who completed at least one follow-up visit. Our key independent variable was most effective method of contraception used at last sex. This variable was assessed with a single question in which participants were instructed to indicate all methods of protection used at last sex. Participants were then grouped into the following categories, including LARC, use of other highly effective methods, which included shot, ring, patch, and pills. Condom use as a moderately effective method, least effective methods including spermicide, withdrawal, and rhythm method, or no contraceptive method at last sex. The outcome of interest was acquisition of chlamydia or gonorrhea, which was defined as a positive test result subsequent to a negative result or documented treatment. We use chi-square statistics to assess study retention by baseline contraceptive method and summary statistics to examine contraceptive methods and STI acquisition at each assessment visit. Finally, we modeled the associations between LARC use and STI acquisition using random intercept models to account for the correlation due to multiple observations within individuals and to facilitate an individual level interpretation of the results. Our adjusted models controlled for age and baseline STI status. This slide presents contraceptive method prevalence by assessment visit. At baseline, about a third reported using no contraception at last sex, as shown by the gray bar here. About 16% reported using one of the least effective methods, shown in purple. A little over a quarter reported condom use as the most effective method of contraception used at last sex, shown here in blue. 18% used the shot, ring, pills, or patch, shown in yellow, and about 7% used LARC, shown here in green. These percentages remained fairly stable over follow-up, although use of condoms increased to about 50% over the course of the study. As presented on this slide, study retention was quite high, but there was a differential loss of follow-up with respect to baseline contraceptive methods. In particular, the proportion of participants completing at least one follow-up visit was lowest among LARC users, although still quite high at 88%. However, individuals retained in the study or who were part of our analytic sample, there were no statistically significant differences in the number of study visits completed by baseline contraceptive method. This slide shows changes in method use between study visits, with orange sections representing a switch to a method of lower effectiveness and green a switch to methods of higher effectiveness. There's a lot of details on this slide, but I really just wanted to present it here to help explain our decision to model STI acquisition by method at each visit. As seen here, for every method, there was a fair amount of switching from one visit to the next. This slide presents baseline STI prevalence by contraceptive methods. There were no statistically significant differences in STI prevalence by method of contraception used at baseline. Overall, the baseline prevalence of chlamydia was about 19%, about 6% for gonorrhea, and 21% for our composite measure of chlamydia and or gonorrhea. Over the course of follow-up, STI acquisition was highest among LARC users, shown here in green, which ranged from 20 to 27%. And this slide presents the relative likelihood of STI acquisition among LARC users compared to users of other contraceptive methods and individuals who use no method at last sex. In both the unadjusted and adjusted analyses, LARC use was associated with an increased likelihood of STI acquisition. This study is subject to a number of limitations. For example, we had limited information about contraceptive use, which was assessed with a single measure of use at last sex. It's also important to remember that these data were collected as part of an intervention trial. In addition, LARC use was low in this study, and there was differential loss to follow-up by the baseline measure. However, the impact on the results are a bit unclear, given that switching was common and the study achieved high levels of retention overall. Given that the study enrolled African-American women who used alcohol, so perhaps a select population, the results may not be generalizable to other populations. And I think relatedly, this study was conducted, currently ongoing in the early phases of LARC scale-up, so it's possible that individuals who were offered and accepted LARC as measured here in this study may not be fully representative of LARC users who in the future who may accept LARC. So, but despite these limitations, we had a number of strengths, including the laboratory confirmed measures of STIs and assessment of STI acquisition amongst a highly vulnerable sample. In conclusion, the study observed high levels of STI prevalence and acquisition, relatively low levels of LARC use and use of other highly effective methods of contraception. We found LARC users were more likely to acquire STIs, suggesting a significant need for STI prevention amongst LARC users, and that STI prevention strategies should be promoted in the context of LARC scale-up. Of course, future monitoring and research in this area would be helpful. And I'd like to acknowledge both the participants of this study, the principal investigators, Ralph DiClemente at Emory and Jennifer Monahan at UGA, as well as the research staff, and the study was funded by by NIAAA. Thank you.
Discussion.
Thank you for that fascinating presentation. In reviewing your results, which flipped by very quickly, so I may have gotten this wrong, but it seemed like the moderately effective contraceptive was condoms exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you look at this slide, it looks like moderately effective methods, which is condom use, is also associated with an increased risk of STI acquisition. Is that true?
Yes. So this was measured at last. So it's not, yes, that's relative to the LARC users. So this is LARC users relative to each one of these methods. LARC use relative to no method, LARC use relative to the least effective method, and this was used at last sex, so one time period.
So could you help me interpret this? That
yeah, so when we, I think there potentially are a number of reasons that could lead to increased risk amongst this population. We didn't, one would be frequency of sex, one would be type of partnerships, the likelihood of that a partner is infected, the number of partners as well. So we, as an aside, I did look at condom use of LARCs relative to users who used other highly effective methods. There were no differences detected over the course of follow-up in condom use, which may suggest, some of these partnership-level factors or frequency of sex or type of partner.
Right. So that's that. Since we know that condom use, at least if it's correctly and consistently used, is protective.
Correct.
It would be interesting to disentangle the effect of condom use or non-use in this risk, because this
absolutely
this
yeah.
is kind of looks like a very global picture, but it's not. I sort of am left with many more questions.
I think many of us are left with many more questions, and okay. Disentangling some of those effects won't be entirely easy, but we can dive into it in more detail for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thanks.